If you've listened to my show, you know I really take Super Beats every day, but sometimes I get so caught up in my busy schedule that I can forget. And that's why I'm excited to tell you guys about their fantastic new product, Super Beats Soft Chews. Super Beats Soft Chews gives me all of the potent heart health benefits of Super Beats packed into two delicious soft chews that I can take with me wherever I go. And Super Beats Soft Chews comes with a new breakthrough ingredient, grapeseed extract, that supports normal blood pressure, circulation, and natural energy in your body. They use highly concentrated premium grape seeds sourced only from the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. The grape seed extract used in Super Beats Soft Chews was clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. Get your Super Beats Soft Chews today at danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third bag for free. That's danasbeats.com, 800-664-5617.
And we will have a case-by-case approach. But for me, the very first objective in the region is to finish war against ISIS. And don't make any mistake. Your number one problem are not the foreign fighters. This is the ISIS fighters in the region. And you have more and more of these fighters due to the situation today.
This is why he's a great politician, because that was one of the greatest non-answers I've ever heard. And that's okay.
Because sometimes you can have some temptation from the U.S. side, I don't say about President Trump, but could be the press, to say this is the European responsibility. I'm sorry to say that.
Seems a little bit testy there. So Trump is, they're having all their NATO meetings. And I was actually with his discussion with Macron. It was actually quite friendly with Trudeau, but with Macron, they've had a little bit of a war of the words. And you can tell that I think Trump just thinks it's funny, but Macron looks like someone who gets very, very offended very easily. That was not a French accent, but that's okay. Welcome to the show. Welcome. We'll do whatever, because it's my show. We'll do whatever we want. And it's just, I identify that as a French accent. That's how that works now. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. Hey, by the way, you can, just reminding you, watch the full 3 hours of the show streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and in days it'll be on other different platforms. So, and then you can also look at my Christmas set. And for the 1,000th time, just, and I love you all, just because like 1,000 of you asked, I got those trees at Hobby Lobby.
Did you?
I did. I went in there, I was like, yay, Merry Christmas, I love Jesus. And then here I'm buying some Christmas trees and supporting capitalism and a Christian company. Anyway, we got a lot to get to, so let's get her done. So obviously, as I said, that was POTUS, who was, he and Macron aren't really getting along right now. Now, remember, Emmanuel Macron was, he keeps suggesting that somehow, because the administration won't bow to Iran, that we just don't honor our agreements that don't exist, but I digress. We don't honor our agreements, and he was sort of questioning whether or not NATO still had the same influence, which is a really snide thing for a country that doesn't put into it as much as the United States does. That's a really snide thing to suggest, right? It's just poor manners. And so, they're not getting along. So they got into it a little bit. The president said that, Macron told the press and also mentioned it to the president that his remarks were not nice, because that's what politics is about. And that's what geopolitical policy is about. It's about being just super nice to everyone, even when you kind of need to discuss with them some very harsh truths. And this is one of these harsh truths. So back in October, Emmanuel Macron had given, pull this up, Emmanuel Macron, and this is it, had given an interview to The Economist. And he said that NATO is becoming brain dead. It's time to wake up. America is turning its back on the European project. Keep in mind that NATO has expanded under Trump, and that there are more countries now on the short list to further expand NATO. So just keep that in mind as Macron is saying that, which is why, I mean, we could honestly just stop the discussion there, because that's why it seems so weird to me that he would make a suggestion like that. He's not so much taking a jab at NATO as he is taking a jab at the administration. That's what he's doing. So he was talking to The Economist, where he said, yes, we're experiencing, you know, NATO's brain dead. We're experiencing the brain death of NATO. And he says that everything in Europe, everyone's on, quote, the edge of a precipice. And He was saying that we should be able to count on the support of the United States, whereas Trump is saying, hey, you know what's awesome is that you tax the hell out of everybody over there, so you have a ton of government revenue. Why don't you actually use that to beef up your national security? You know? It's let me put it to you this way, because I know that there's some people out there who only read books with pictures, so I'll put it to them quite easily. It's like you move in to a new home. And you have the money to actually add locks and increase the security of your home, make sure that your windows are sturdy, make sure maybe you have some, you know, like put some blink cameras out there or some whatever, a deadbolt on the door. But instead, you want to just do it. You don't want to spend money on that. You want your neighbor to spend that money for you to do it. Even though you could do it yourself, it's your neighbor's responsibility, you in your mind, to do that for your home. That's essentially the dynamic that we had. That is the dynamic that we have here. There's no essential about it. That's it. And it's not the responsibility of the United States. You can't have it both ways. You can't criticize the United States for getting involved in everything just like they did Bush, when really under Barack Obama, we got, I mean, where were we? Supporting a dictator when we were getting involved in Honduras, destabilizing Libya, and taking out a regime that no longer posed a threat to the United States, backing the banned Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. I mean, I can go on and on and on. There have been so many different entities and so many different sovereign nations that have experienced destabilization because of the previous administration's foreign policy, but because he was a Democrat, he gets a pass. So now here you have a president who doesn't believe that the United States must attend every fight to which it is invited, which is very refreshing, A, for soldiers who want to make sure that they have eased back ROE and that they can go and get the job done and get back home to their families, and also to the American taxpayer who want to make sure that they're not shoring up a country only to lose that victory to, you know, a president in 2024 that has heinous foreign policy, as we've seen previously. So with all of that in mind, That's the dynamic between Trump and Macron right now. And so Trump said, yeah, you know, I don't think anybody needs the alliance of NATO more than France, which I thought was good. And he says, quote, I think that's when France makes a statement like they made about NATO. That's a very dangerous statement for them to make. So basically he was like, OK, then go home then. Go on. Yeah, listen, I like this. I like his tone here.
Our success, the ability to change when the world is changing.
It's a tough statement, though. When you make a statement like that, that is a very, very, very nasty statement to essentially 28, including them, 28 countries. I think that, you know, you have a very high unemployment rate in France. France is not doing well economically at all. They're starting to tax other people's products, so therefore we go and tax them. It's just taking place right now on technology, and we're doing their wines and everything else. And it's a very tough statement to make when you have such difficulty in France. You look at what's happened with the yellow vests, or you look at what's going on during certain parts of their season. They've had a very rough year. And you just can't go around making statements like that about NATO. It's very disrespectful.
Yeah, so Trump was basically saying, sit down, son, have a seat, son, because France has been, you know, how he just said there, France is looking at taxing other people's products, talking about our exports to France, and and all of the people that criticize the administration with regards to tariffs, etc. It is totally fine for other countries to screw us around this way, but if we just even so much as propose it, and I'm a person who hates tariffs, I like free trade, I understand why people do it. I get it. So you can't sit here and get mad at the dude who's looking at protecting American businesses and American exports in the face of a foreign country that is to be our ally, that is to also be a member of NATO, that is doing it and considering doing it further to us. So you can't have it both ways. And you also can't have it both ways that the United States needs to attend every fight to which they're invited, or they just hate these people because Trump is in the White House. And also, stop getting involved. Stop meddling. I mean, pick a damn argument. Pick a side. It was Bush meddled all the time, and Trump doesn't meddle enough. So I like what he said. My favorite, I think one of my favorite gifts, my favorite headline, and I'm not really a fan of the Daily Mail. They hate me because I like the Second Amendment and they don't. Which, that's fine. You're a British newspaper. Step off. But they're actually a more conservative-leaning newspaper, and they make you, if you ever want to fake like you're reading policy, they have a trash gossip entertainment Hollywood celebrity thing on the side and their sidebar, and they have all of their news and everything else that's in the middle, so you can, you know, really read the trash while it looks like you're reading about geopolitical analysis. But anyway, so at the top of Daily Mail, It says Trump squeezes Macron. Would you like some nice ISIS fighters? I could give them to you. And it's the closed caption GIF. It's pretty funny because it's that's what he says. They were having a fight over whether or not who is going to take these captured ISIS fighters. And Trump kind of needled him and said, yeah, you know, would you like some of these nice fighters? I could give them to you. He says, and they're all under lock and key, but many are from France. I like the way that he's handling it. And Macron, you should see his expression. It's really funny. He's not happy about this at all because I think he's getting outmaneuvered. So the press is going to, the harder the press goes to shore up a particular politician, that's how you know they kind of got their butt handed to them on the world stage and with these discussions. So the Trump administration, one of the other things that's coming up in NATO, or not NATO, but with regards to these discussions, and I'm sure that the president talked with them about it, is the proposition of tariffs on up to $2.4 billion worth of French imports, including Roquefort cheese, lipstick, handbags, sparkling wine, champagne, because France is taxing U.S. tech companies. They're taxing Amazon, they're taxing Facebook, they're taxing Google. And so a Office of the U.S. Trade Representative said an investigation had found that their new France's new digital service tax actually discriminates against U.S. companies. And it's they're trying to it's hurting U.S. companies, bottom line. And the U.S. criticized the French for their taxing and targeting these companies' revenue, not their profits, and for being retroactive. So the United States said, okay, well, since you're doing this, we can consider this. Now, all of the people that are going to scream it at the president about this, are you concerned with American businesses being hurt by bad financial policy, by bad economic policy approaches from the boy king, Emmanuel Macron? I shouldn't say that, he's older than me, but I mean, he seems like a child. Immature people seem younger than you are. But you understand what I'm saying. So he's simply responding to this, you're going to hear from the left. He's going to freak out over this. And then you're going to hear from the crystal cons who are going to say, oh, this is so bad, et cetera, et cetera. But we're quiet as church mice when it was all of these other countries that were taxing and targeting American companies. So I'm interested in seeing how this goes on. But Emmanuel Macron, to say what he said about NATO, considering that the United States does more for NATO and pays everyone's fair share, particularly, you can't be a grifter on our taxpayer dollars and defense. That's it. Just don't be a grifter. I mean, I'm going to boil it down and put it in terms so simple that even a Washington Post writer who wants to write tons of wordage about coats and how much they hate them, depending on whom they're worn by, could understand. All right. So we have a lot of other stuff to touch on. Let's move on. There is a lot of speculation about the IG report. What is it? We're 6 days away from that?
Yes.
Yeah. Six days away from that. Yeah. We're going to talk about some of the speculation from the IG report, because Barr is apparently rejecting a couple of things in it, but then there's some very interesting things coming out on this. So we're going to discuss the IG report. Mark Ruffalo, who is worth millions of dollars, I think his net worth is like $30 million. He was the Hulk in the Avengers, and where he pocketed several million dollars for his work on the Avengers. And he has a new movie that came out last month that, because of our capitalistic, quasi-capitalistic system, I don't deny the cronyism, which is not capitalistic, but he wants you to go and use that economic system that has enriched him so much, the one that he hates, to pay a ticket, buy a ticket and pay him for his work. He blasts capitalism, says it's awful, calls for an economic revolution. And we're going to talk about people who don't understand math, especially those who think that Norway is democratic socialism. So we'll have that conversation. Also, a quick note on all the high school seniors right now filling out college applications. Community colleges are okay. So please do not let your classmates whose richy rich parents are going to pay for their children to attend a pricier, more prestigious university, even though that they barely were able to get in and definitely receive no grants or scholarships. It is completely okay to take the same freshman requirements and prerequisites at a community college and save money. In fact, I would probably rather hire someone who made such a choice than someone who decided to waste their parents' money going off and getting a worthless degree in women's studies. So we've got that, media, a bunch of other stuff as well that you don't want to miss. And now, we had a hard night last night with my pup, Rocco, because he had emergency spinal surgery. and he lost the use of his back legs, and we've been slowly, at least with this couple of simple exercises that we can, trying to rehabilitate him back to at least kind of being able to walk a little bit assisted in a sling harness. And I just really understand ever so much going through this with Rocco, just the great work that all of the people at Delta Rescue do. See, here's the thing with Delta Rescue, and they have a movie, by the way, I want to tell you about in a minute, but I just love this. I love Delta Rescue so much. It stands for the Dedication and Everlasting Love to Animals. It's the largest no-kill care for life animal sanctuary of its kind in the world. They're not hypocrites. These are conservationists and stewards of our animals that we share the planet with, like dogs, cats, horses, animals that have been abandoned or born in the wilderness. Delta Rescue, they have a veterinarian team. They have an animal hospital. These animals live out their lives in peace and safety. Now, it's Christmas, so Delta Rescue and I, we want to offer you a special Christmas movie magic. Christopher Lloyd's in this movie, which is awesome. Love Christopher Lloyd. And it's a movie, a Christmas movie about a dog. There. End of discussion. All the things you love are right in that movie. But you really have to go and see it, because animals are just sweet little angel babies and we love them. And Fox named the film Magic to their top five Christmas movies. You got to go see it. Go to deltarescue.org/Dana and just look for the feature films tab. You can get it for free by visiting deltarescue.org/Dana. And as we round out the end of the year, please don't forget, you can get information on Delta's tax saving estate planning. Just go directly to deltarescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. If you've listened to my show, you know I really take Super Beats every day, but sometimes I get so caught up in my busy schedule that I can forget. And that's why I'm excited to tell you guys about their fantastic new product, Super Beats Soft Chews. Super Beats Soft Chews gives me all of the potent heart health benefits of Super Beats packed into two delicious soft chews that I can take with me wherever I go. And Super Beats Soft Chews comes with a new breakthrough ingredient, grapeseed extract, that supports normal blood pressure, circulation, and natural energy in your body. They use highly concentrated premium grape seeds sourced only from the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. The grape seed extract used in Super Beats Soft Chews was clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. Get your Super Beats Soft Chews today at danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third bag for free. That's danasbeats.com, 800-664-5617.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Kamala Harris just announced that she is dropping out of the Democratic presidential primary. She says with a tweet, quote, "To my supporters, it is with deep regret, but also with deep gratitude that I'm suspending my campaign today." Now, there's a legal, everyone's like, well, wait a minute, she's just suspending. She's suspending because there is a thing that has to do with fundraising and paying money back, and it allows for candidates to not go into debt as much, and they can settle up some of their finances. So that's why it's always a suspension first, instead of just dropping out, because words matter. So she's suspending her campaign. She's out. I don't think she'll be able to run again. She just made herself toxic, and she is never able to get away from that. Okay, we got to get going. There is a new breed of ultra crunchy apple that lasts for up to a year in the fridge and sounds terrifying. It goes on sale across America after more than 20 years. After more than 20 years in development. Is Mike Lindell involved with this apple? So it's a new ultra crunchy apple. It's called the Cosmic Crisp. They started breeding at 97. They say it's juicy. Would you want an apple that's like it's been around for 20 years? That seems kind of creepy. Yeah, I don't know. How many good deeds do you perform every month? The New York Post asked this question, and what they discovered, that most Americans on average do 5 good deeds a month. So over half of those surveyed have even gone so far as to pay for a stranger's meal, helping someone with directions, holding the door open. Even the smallest thing can make a big difference. Interesting. So coming up, Mark Ruffalo and George Conway. Can someone pass him a Mitol? That and more.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
Okay, so I'm a couple of years older than Pete Buttigieg. I had to Google what malarkey means, which I did in the ad break.
Really? You literally did not know what it meant?
I mean, I've heard the word, but I don't know the exact meaning. And it refers... Do you know the exact meaning?
Nonsense?
Yeah, nonsense, meaningless talk.
Yeah.
And kind of, if that's Joe Biden, and he goes with no malarkey, I mean, he's the king of meaningless talk and nonsense.
I just think, still, I stick with the belief that it's really best suited for a political slogan from the early 1800s. My name is Abraham Ebenezer, because didn't they all have names like that back in the day? My name's Abraham Ebenezer, and I'm running for president with the new Malarkey tour. And everyone's like, oh, Malarkey, it's a word of common parlance of our time. I understand it. It's different. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. Find the YouTube and Facebook live stream, which is live, and you can watch the bus. Actually, I just saw a picture of the bus and said it. You can watch the show. Bus, Kamala Harris's bus. What is she doing with it? I actually don't hate the bus. Hers is the one campaign bus that actually didn't suck. It was a giant black bus, and it had her name in yellow, blue, and red, but they were like different hues. So it was modern, and it was a good design, I thought, and it said "For the People" on the other side. So it's actually kind of cool. I mean, you knew that was the Kamala bus when it came around. So what happens with that?
It's going to get painted.
That's an expensive paint job, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. It wasn't a wrap. I think that was a very pricey paint job. So she's out of the race. Well, I guess she's not a top tier candidate anymore. No more. I have a piece up at danalash.com. danaradio.com will also take you there, and you can go and read about poor little Mark Ruffalo. Oh my gosh. All right, so I have to tell you this. I have not liked him. I'll be honest with you. I've not liked him in the longest time because he came out so hard at me after Parkland. He intimated that I was a murderer and that I was a horrible person because I supported the Second Amendment and et cetera, et cetera. He just was not nice. And we exchanged some words, and I was way more pleasant about it than he is. And for a guy who seems like a simpering sort of nerd, He seems very violent. Anyway, so he was tweeting this yesterday. Mark Ruffalo. It's time for an economic revolution. Capitalism today is failing us, killing us, robbing from our children's future. That was his tweet, which seemed really overdramatic. Okay. So I wrote about this. I said, that's really weird because... Now, again, Mark Ruffalo is the guy who played the Hulk in the Avengers. He is bashing the economic system that made him rich. He sold his $3.5 million brownstone for a little over $3 million just a couple of years ago. So he had a $400,000 loss on that. Is he mad because of that? Is that because, you know, you weren't able to unload your pricey brownstone? I don't know. He pocketed several million dollars reportedly from the Avengers, and he has a net worth of $30 million, apparently, all because of capitalism. And that's even with cronyism. And I want to make it clear, I'm all about capitalism, and we have a capitalist society, but I tend to say a quasi-capitalist society because of all the cronyism that has infected our economic system. And we're still doing this good with that much capitalism. Imagine if it was total unfettered capitalism. Imagine. And I'm also completely against shaming people for their worth. I think that that's a leftist, progressive, brain-dead tactic. I can't stand that. Greed and selfishness is the covetous demand to share the fruits of someone else's labor. That is what's selfish and greedy. Not people who want to spend their money how they see fit because they earned it. And they're probably going to be better stewards of it than the people who are demanding someone else's fruit of their labor. But the problem with Ruffalo and others like him, I wholly support people making what they're worth. Ask for your worth. And I support whatever you want to do with your own money. But Ruffalo is a hypocrite. They slip on this veneer of revolutionary chic when it suits them, when it's convenient for them to do so. And they act like they're one of the just regular, everyday, non-millionaire people out there. Oh, they're so mad. Capitalism is so mad. By the way, make sure you go and buy a ticket and see my movie that came out just late last month. Make sure you go and buy the movie that I did now is on DVD, Blu-ray. You can go get it for his Blu-ray store. You can go and get it for Christmas. Great stocking stuffer. Make sure you rent it on Netflix. Go and buy my merchandise. Go and see me at Comic-Con. Go and buy a ticket and engage in the economic system that I hate so much that made me so dirty rich. That's the problem I have because he's a hypocrite. And I cannot, it's always the super rich people who are they can afford a little socialism. Rest of us can't. They can afford a little socialism. Hell, what's a little socialism when you have billions of dollars, right? Oh, I can give you a little bit. What did they say that Michael Bloomberg, he spent $100 million on ads, but because he's so rich, that's essentially like $200 for the average everyday American family, their budget. Okay, yeah, he can afford a little bit of socialism. Not everyone can. But even then, it doesn't matter. It's stupid. I feel like if you are demanding the fruit of someone else's labor, you're coveting. That's a sin. You're demanding something and you're obsessed with something that someone else has. That's coveting. That's a sin. Bottom line. But like I said, rich people like Ruffalo, they can afford a little socialism. The only reason, to him, it's a styling. He clearly doesn't understand what the hell he's talking about. It's a styling. It's a brand, right? It's, like I said online, it's they embrace it because they think it makes them look cool. And they sit here and they say all of this revolutionary rhetoric because they think it makes them sound edgy and in the know. But I did miss, maybe I missed it, I don't know, Kane, if you caught it or not, did he redistribute his salaries from all of his Avengers movies? Did you hear that? Did you get any of that money?
I didn't hear anything about that at all.
Did you get a check from Mark Ruffalo?
I did not.
Rachel, did you get a check from Mark Ruffalo? Did you all get a check from Mark Ruffalo? I didn't get any money from Mark Ruffalo. Did he redistribute the millions of dollars that he made selling his quite spacious in Manhattan brownstone? It was like almost 3,000 square feet in Manhattan. Man. Dang, right? Did you get a check from that? Did you get some from that?
I didn't get anything.
We didn't get Steve, did you get any of that?
No, but I hope he gave his candy to Jennifer Garner in 13 going on 30. I don't think that was quite poor snout.
You're holding a grudge. I didn't get any of that. See, that's the whole thing. I guess I missed, and all you did too, his public pledge to redistribute his salary to everybody. And that's the thing. Anything less than that from him is hypocrisy. It's total hypocrisy. I can't stand these. They're like, oh, look at how edgy I am. I'm so mad at the system that's made me rich. Rah, rah, rah. Go ahead and yell about it. I'm going to go ahead and sell some more tickets. It's silly. So I have to discuss this. I said a little bit earlier, I think George Conway, maybe just take a little bit of a Midol, right? Just take a Midol. I don't get involved in people's lives and all this stuff, but the way that George Conway rails on Twitter, I don't know what goes on in that dynamic. I'm not going to speak for them. All I know is I know Mary Madeline and James Carville, and I've known them for a number of years, and they don't talk about politics at home. And you can dislike James Carville all you want to, but that man adores that woman. And you will not, I don't care if you're like a political alliance of his. You say a mean thing about that woman and he will cut you with something that has LSU on it. I'm positive. And they are always so respectful of each other. And granted, it's just through Twitter, but I so don't get that vibe from George Conway. And he finally retweeted his wife, Kellyanne Conway, because she tweeted, watch, Sleepy Joe is Creepy Joe. We need Ukraine's help to defeat this guy. And he retweeted it and said, your boss apparently thought so. God. Whew. So, yeah. Dang. I don't know where to go with this. I saw that tweet and I thought, okay, that's really disrespectful, number one. You're supposed to be a partnership. You don't have to endorse what she's doing, but that's your lady, you know? That's your woman. You don't have to endorse her political ideas, but you do have to respect her. And you don't have to make life hard on her. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I've seen it with James Carville and Mary Madeline, and he has way more standing than George Conway does, so.
But his implication is that Trump somehow was hitting up Ukraine for help with Biden, and that's not even close. That's why his statement's also stupid.
Mm. I can't imagine. Can you imagine having a spouse like that? Oh, my gosh. I'd be on Cops. I'd be straight up on, I'd be on live PD. And you'd have what's-his-face Abrams sitting there like, oh, my gosh, and now we're at Dana Lash's house. This is at Dana Lash's house. Someone called 911. It was a good old-fashioned flip-flop beatdown, Ozark style, in the front yard. That's slightly joking, but I'm just saying, you know, like, why does he have to go and do this? Why does he got to be ignorant like this? He just seems, when your political priorities leapfrog over your commitment to respect and care for your wife, that's a problem. She's not the problem, you are. That's a problem. When your politics dictate your emotions to your wife and lead you to be rude to your wife and lead you to try to publicly shame your wife, that's a problem. And it's not biblical at all. And it goes against his role in his household. It's not what a man would do. So I don't want to get involved in their relationship, but I saw that and I thought, oh my gosh, I can't. I mean, honestly, that's why, little known fact, that's why flip-flops were invented. Someone needs to get told, just take it right off. Tell them. That's how it works. All right, we have a few other things. I don't have to go just quite yet. I sent you this audio. Yeah, I did. So Linda Sarsour, this was actually quite recently. She's still out there, apparently influential enough that people are wanting to have her come and speak. And she was talking about, again, she's a Bernie Sanders surrogate. There's video that came out where she talks about how Israel was built on the idea that Jews are supreme to everyone else. And she said more like this also. Listen to her.
Ask them this. How can you be against white supremacy in the United States of America and the idea of living in a supremacist state based on race and class, but then you support a state like Israel that is built on supremacy, that is built on the idea that Jews are supreme to everybody else?
So her idea, so what she's saying is if you support Israel, then you can't condemn white supremacy. Did I understand that correctly? Like, how can you condemn white supremacy when you support them? They think they're better than everyone else. Okay, that is, let's anti-Semitic. Oh, that's pretty bigoted. Now, let's play a game called imagine if this was a Trump surrogate. Just imagine. When is Bernie Sanders, because those are the rules, right? Them's the rules. Bernie Sanders has to condemn this. Them's the rules. If he doesn't condemn it, then it's like he said it, right? If only I applied the same rules to the left that the left applied to me, that would be fascinating. So the rules are that he basically said this, unless he condemns her saying it. And she was quite clear. Yeah, that's the Women's March founder. We have a lot more coming up, including... The media is mad at those criticizing Elizabeth Warren because she lied about where she sent her kids to school. Remember how people were getting mad at those asking questions about Hunter Biden being on the board of Burisma? Okay, well, and they kept calling him a child. Like, how dare you attack someone's child? And he's over 50. So Elizabeth Warren's kids were born, what, during the Nixon era? And apparently this is attacking her children. So we have that for you. Also, no, Trump does not have to credential Bloomberg News. We've discussed that. And Washington Post, the Washington Post really, 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 really hates Melania Trump's coat. We've got that, a bunch of other stuff as well that you don't want to miss. In the meantime, as we get moving on the most comfortable pair of headphones I've ever owned in my history of my life are my Raycon E50s. I love them. They are so ridiculously comfortable. First off, I know everyone else is like, oh, we have premium wireless earbuds. Come listen to our premium wireless earbuds. Okay, they're horrible. I'm going to be frank. They suck. The other ones out there are awful. And I have about five different varieties. I've wasted my money on five other brands of wireless earbuds. The Raycons are the absolute best. First off, they're so ridiculously comfortable. They send you these gel pads that you can just snap right on them. And not only does that help personalize and make it a really great, perfect, customized fit, but it also adds an extra layer of noise cancellation. They're noise canceling headphones. I've worn them on flights. And I've fallen asleep because they don't have really goofy stems or wires that stick out. I mean, I like laid on the side of my face on a plane and flew on a red eye And they're so ridiculously comfortable. And I can hear on planes, too, when I have my Raycons on. Whether you want to talk, you're working out, whatever it is. They also have a new model, the E25, 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing. More bass, compact design. They're just great. You have to go and check out the colors and the varieties that they have, depending on what you need them for. And you can go to buyraycon.com/Dana and get 15% off of your order today. That's buyraycon.com/Dana. This is a great Christmas gift, by the way. And this is on my Christmas gift list as a great gift for anybody. buyraycon.com/Dana. Get 15% off your order.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to the Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
So now all the hot takes are coming in about Kamala Harris's suspension of her campaign. She's dropping out. What did you shared one with me? What was the one that you shared with me, Steve? You saw, who was it? What's her face?
Lauren Duca.
Lauren Duca. And she was basically saying, oh, racism's real now because it's only white people in the Democrat primary. It's all the white people. Okay. And then you had this one. I just retweeted it and said, who boy? Jessica Valenti, who's a big old feminist. She says, Pete Buttigieg making it this far. By the way, can we just pause and acknowledge that that's the first time I think I've actually said his name the way he says it?
Very good.
Back to my tweet. Jessica Valenti tweeted, Pete Buttigieg making it this far really is the embodiment of women being judged on their experience, men on their potential. I love how everyone's hot take is particularly customized to their grievance industry. Let's see, I'm feminist, so it's bad on women. And then you have someone else who's like the race hustler, Lauren Duca. She's an everything hustler. And didn't her own staff say that she tried to teach a class and they said it was awful and ridiculous and she just was not teacher material and she was more interested in glorifying herself and then it was really embarrassing for her. She just wants to be out and like, oh, look, there's racism here. Look, I have now a grievance within my grievance industry. Ooh, micro grievance industry within the bit larger grievance industry. Ooh. So the hot takes, I'm here for those. I'm just the Baby Yoda sipping his bone broth meme right over here, just watching all them hot takes come in and collide into each other all on cable news. 'Tis glorious. And I'm just over here sipping. Little Baby Yoda. Which, by the way, if you have not watched The Mandalorian, it's worth it. Not just for Baby Yoda, but because Gina Carano, the queen, is in it. And I'm all about that. So it's actually really quite good. I'm very excited to watch The Witcher, too. And one last quick note. You want a good series to watch? That's like kind of like will screw with your head? Dark. Good. Really? German, but it's the audio dubs are like the best dubbing I've ever seen. Really, really good. But get ready to invest and feel weird. The soundtrack is also, if you like, you know, goth dark, like modern sort of dark wave, goth-inspired navel-gazing, it's also quite good. Anyway, second hour on the way, 6 days till the IG report. Plus, ooh, the media's mad. How dare you criticize Elizabeth Warren's elderly children? The other day, the president made a statement about how Democrats always stick together and Republicans don't. Shouldn't we focus more on taking a stronger stance beyond our churches and living rooms? So I'm asking all of you, join together and become everyday advocates for things in which we believe. Showing your patriotism can go beyond how you vote. You can do it with a service that you use every day by switching your cell phone service to Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only cell phone service that donates a portion of your monthly bill to organizations fighting for the values in which you believe. Right now, Patriot Mobile has an incredible limited time offer. Buy one line, get one line free for 6 months when you make the switch today. Get reliable 4G LTE nationwide service for as low as $25 per month while helping to preserve the country that we all love. Don't wait. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based team at 877-367-7524. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 877-367-7524.
I spoke. And I wore my pink Planned Parenthood scarf. Now that's two. So here's my plan for number three. I'm going to be wearing that scarf when I'm sworn in as President of the United States.
She's the only person of color in the race, as Kane said. She's the last person of color left. That's Elizabeth Warren. Well, I mean, Cory Booker's in it, but he's not qualified for the debate. I mean, at least in the debate. Welcome back to the show. Second hour. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. And also make sure to find DanaRadio.com or DanaLash.com. Either will get you there. And you can access the, you can get the live stream. It's also on Twitter, Facebook. And we're going to be moving to different streaming platforms also. So we have YouTube and Facebook, official Dana Lash on Facebook, and you can watch all 3 hours for free. Quick apology on my, I don't have any of my show headlines up today because I was dealing with my sick pup, Rocco, because he's had spinal surgery. So his morning routine took a really long time today. And I'm like, okay, I don't have that much time to get the, those show headlines out. So we'll put some stuff up later. Meanwhile, a lot of stuff that we are watching today. The House, let me throw this up. The Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, House of Representatives Intel Committee, they came out with their Trump-Ukraine impeachment inquiry report. It is now up. It's boring, boring, boring. It is almost as long as the article that the Washington Post wrote about Melania Trump's coat. Almost. I mean, okay, might be slightly exaggerating. Slightly. But anyway. But speaking of Elizabeth Warren also, and I'm sure that they're all going to be talking about this thing because it's, I mean, the GOP, they this was all, it was just baseless. I haven't read the report yet. It just came out the end of last hour, but I'll take a look at it a little bit later on. All right. So I saw this tweet earlier today. Remember how I had it kind of as a headline? And I, why do people lie? Everyone knows that one person, they're like Gilly from SNL. That they just lie about basic, stupid, rando stuff. Why? Elizabeth Warren lies about, she lied about being an Indian. She lied about being, what was it, the first breastfeeding mother who took the New Jersey bar or something like that. And the New Jersey Bar Association came out and said, what are you on? Like, we don't even keep track of things like that. You're so weird. And so now she was asked on by a woman, and kind of she was being criticized by a woman about her where her kids went to school. And the woman assumed that Elizabeth Warren sent her kids to a private school. I don't care where people send their kids to school. I don't care if you homeschool. I homeschooled for up to eighth grade. And my youngest is now, I mean, he's a freshman now. But just be honest about it. The problem is that she rails against the choices that we make and wants to deny us the same choices that she actually chose herself. So she lied about it and said, my kids were in public school. Oh, they went to public school. They were totally in public school. And then it came out, no, not only did her kids go to private school, here's her son's yearbook picture from the very expensive private school that he went to. So it's a lie, and she's being criticized because you cannot trust this woman. If you're going to lie about something that simple, you know, why? How can anyone trust you on anything else? Now that I've set that up, this guy is a political reporter with NBC, and he tweeted, well, first off, Jeb Bush had tweeted to Elizabeth Warren, quote, Elizabeth Warren was so public school proud that she sent her son to expensive private schools for the majority of his K-12 education. And he cited a Reason article, which I never thought I would live to the day to see Jeb Bush tweet out a Reason article. I've seen everything now, but he did, and he's right. I don't want to shame people for where they, I think that if you send your kid to a private school, you're not saying that you hate public schools or that, or anything of that nature, but I think you can make that choice without there be something malicious inherent to it. But Jeb Bush is right to say what Elizabeth Warren has always made it out to be. If you choose anything other than public school, which is what he's intimating here and what she has done, is that you are, you're turning your back on all these kids and you are shaming the system, etc. And how here she's caught in her own hypocrisy. So Jonathan Allen, this guy at NBC News, tweets out, and this was just this morning, it used to be that politicians drew the line at attacking each other's children. And then he responded to himself, but we live in different times. Well, what? Okay, just an FYI, her children were born in the Nixon era.
They're not children.
Does that make them as old as Hunter Biden? Because he's like 50, over 50, 51 or something like that, right?
Now do Barron Trump.
Yeah. So, first off, it's not attacking her kids, who are not kids. They're grown people. They're like way grown folks. They're older than all of us. It's actually attacking her hypocrisy and also pointing out the fact that she lies. She set herself up for this. So why is it that the media, and this is a member of the media, they're criticizing individuals that point out that a woman who wants to be the president of the United States, they're pointing out to the fact that she lied again. Not only did she lied on tape. Somebody recorded her lying about it. Blatantly. And she said that lie so easy. She lied about it, and then she got caught in the lie. How? So, you know, it used to be that you could criticize a politician's choice and hypocrisy on education without the inferment that it's the education is the same thing as their educational choice is the same thing as their children. But we live in different times. This is asinine that this even has to be explained to anyone. I mean, she specifically lied so she would not have to face any allegations or accusations of hypocrisy. And that seems particularly relevant to this, right?
The attack was on her, not her kids.
Exactly. I hope he doesn't hurt his back carrying all that water for her, you know, because lift with your legs, right. Not your lower back. Lift with your legs. Now, speaking of media, no, Donald Trump does not have to credential Bloomberg News. And I wrote about this. If you go to DanaRadio.com or DanaLash.com, Bloomberg does absolutely not have to credential Bloomberg News. And this was a huge thing yesterday. It was announced that the Trump 2020 campaign and the GOP, they will not issue credentials to Bloomberg News for rallies and other campaign events. And why should Trump anyway? I mean, the Bloomberg News, I wonder who owns that. Yeah, I mean, it was founded and is run by one of his many Democratic opponents. And they publicly declared that they will not thoroughly investigate or write about their boss, who happens to be named also Bloomberg, or any other of the other Democrat candidates. Instead, they will only thoroughly write about Trump. That's not journalism. It isn't. In fact, Bloomberg editor-in-chief John Micklethwaite sent a note out saying that, you know, it's going to be weird for us to cover this campaign. They dissolved their editorial board. And so New York Times editor Dean Baquet came out and he condemned the Trump campaign's decision to deny credentials to Bloomberg. So Dean Baquet will criticize Trump for Bloomberg News's decision and their public statement to not fairly cover the Democrat 2020 presidential candidates by only thoroughly covering the Republican. Dean Baquet criticizes people who point out Bloomberg News is not practicing journalism. That also is not journalism. Unbelievable. Now you understand why the phrase fake news exists. Now you understand why people are critical of so many people in legacy media. Because of things like this, you make it too easy. It's not journalism to defend a propaganda outlet that wholly relies, that is funded and takes orders from Michael Bloomberg, and they publicly dissolve their editorial board and declare that they're not going to fairly cover the election, and you're mad because they're not going to be issued credentials. You're not mad that they're not practicing journalism while claiming to practice journalism, which threatens your profession more than anything else. You're mad that they weren't issued credentials after they publicly declared that they're not going to practice journalism. And you wonder why everyone says fake news. It's unbelievable. This is garbage. You don't have to apologize for anything with regards to media criticism. Okay, now this brings me to my other... We're going to have a little fun with this because holy cow. The Washington Post really... really, really, really hates Melania Trump's coat. So last year, a lot of them were freaking out over the red Christmas trees, which I thought were cranberry trees, and I thought they were amazing, by the way. I mean, it was goth AF, and I thought it was amazing, and I love it. They were really mad about that. This year, some of them hate her coat so much that they wrote a boatload of words about how much they hate it, and they made her sound like a villain from a show my mom used to watch called Dynasty, which was about shoulder pads and a woman named Alexis. So let me just give you a sample of this Washington Post story that hates her coat. And by the way, they're talking about the coat that she wore when she was introducing everyone to how the White House was decorated this year for Christmas and how it was in the spirit of America. This is how this is what they write. But more than a silly fashion folly, the coat is a distraction. It's a discomforting affectation taken to ludicrous extreme. In a video that is intended to celebrate warmth and welcoming spirit of the holiday season, the simple flourish exudes cold, dismissive aloofness. As Trump gazes pleasantly at all that her staff and a host of volunteers have accomplished, her attire suggests that she's casually passing through and has a little affinity for the occasion. She's not getting comfortable, so why should you? She styles herself in a manner that contradicts what her staff has so often insisted, that she is an engaged hostess who sweats the details and frets about her guests' comfort. Instead, she looks like the sort of host who greets her guests at the front door, tells them to remove their shoes, and warns them not to sit on the Leland sheep, which I literally had to Google because I didn't know what the hell that was. What is a Leland sheep? Is that something that like rich Washington Post writers have sitting around in their homes at Christmas? It's a fake sheep. Did you not? It's like a fake sheep. They call them fake sheep sculptures. Leland? Leland? L-A-L-A-N-N-E?
Is there need for the second
le? Leland? Yeah, because it's like, okay. You know, it's French. Le sheep? Okay. I don't know what the hell was that. I forget. Le-le. I was taught Canadian French by my public education that Elizabeth Warren supports. Now, then they say that her coat basically is her own personal border wall. I'll continue. Also, could this not be but because she just wanted to wear a coat? Or maybe she was cold inside? I mean, it gets cold in that drafty old house. Impossible, says Washington Post. It is her own personal border wall. The coat tossed over the shoulders is a generic styling maneuver used in editorial photographs. But even the most devoted fashion stylist realizes that at a certain point, when aesthetics start to overwhelm logic... Wait, hold the hell up. You mean... aesthetics start to overwhelm logic. Yes, it overwhelms logic to wear a coat in December in Washington, D.C. It's so overwhelming. And they add, she tweeted volunteers were hard at work decorating the people's house. And when she did get a peek at it, one that was for public consumption, she had the look of someone who had swooped in on the way from here to there. Because, you know, Michelle Obama handmade every ornament on every tree in the White House that she chopped down herself. This is petty. I mean, honestly, if this author was assigned this topic, I think that she needs to visit HR. And then they brought up the Zara coat. I really don't care to you, you know, because apparently the move over MAGA hat, it's the coat that's the new symbol of hate. This is so ridiculous. But Trump's tweets, we can't even get along about outerwear in winter. For crying out loud, they wrote, I don't know how many words, 1,100 on this. It's a lot. We've got more to come, including, we got some baby daddy drama. Hunter Biden. His lawyer quit on him. We got that coming up for you. Attention, all progressive blockheads. Norway is not a socialist. They're not democratic socialists. Stop it. We're going to talk about that. 6 days till the IG report, Florida man, and more. You don't want to miss a single beat of it. I hope that this December 14th, you join me and my family in your area and participate in Wreaths Across America Wreath Lane event. I'm very excited about this. This is the first year that we've done it. We sponsored some wreaths, and a friend of mine, Melanie and Marcus Luttrell, they're good friends of mine. This is who I learned about this with, and they were encouraging me to, you know, check it out. The whole thing with Wreaths Across America, it's about remember, honoring, and teaching. And teaching the next generation what it means to selflessly serve and sacrifice like these veterans have done for the protection of our freedoms and our country. And this organization, they started doing this, back in 1992. And now they started with 5,000 wreaths, and now they're at almost 2 million wreaths in total across the country. $15 funds a wreath for a local veteran in your area. There's no cost to attend or participate. There's a number of events that they do throughout the year, but this one perfectly frames your perspective to get your spirit and your heart ready for the holiday season. So join me in celebrating this Christmas with a contribution to Wreaths Across America. Buy wreaths or volunteer your time to help lay them on December 14th. WreathsAcrossAmerica.org is how you can learn more. That's WreathsAcrossAmerica.org.
It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Fired Chicago Police Chief Eddie Johnson was reportedly drinking with a female member of his security detail. Wait, he's got a security detail? He's a cop. For hours before he was reportedly found asleep at the wheel. This is behind Lori Lightfoot's battle with Eddie Johnson. The mayor fired him for lying about the incident. This happened on October 17th. He told police that he was on his way home from a dinner and had pulled over because he felt tired after not taking his medication properly. He had a kidney implant, I believe. And Lightfoot now says it was a lie, but she's not going to say where he had been, but she won't say where he had been or what he had done. She just said surveillance footage proved he was being deliberately misleading. So ongoing drama there, which I told you some of that was political also. Apparently, people who cry during movies, I think this is false, are considered some of the strongest people of all. There was some kind of study that came out in Cerebrum PMC, and it was titled Why Inspiring Stories Make Us React, the Neuroscience of the Narrative, and it broke down exactly why people do that, and they studied everything from the oxytocin and all kinds of neurological substrates, etc. I don't even know. They're basically saying that those people, because of their ability to express their emotions, are stronger. Get ready for a French fry shortage, possibly. Yahoo says that America's bracing for one after a poor potato harvest. Potato processors are rushing to buy up supplies and ship them across North America to keep French fries on the menu after the wet weather damaged crops and key producers in the U.S. and Canada. We have a lot more coming up. Don't go anywhere. The latest with the IG report and more.
Grab the digital archives and enjoy The Dana Show on the go through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anyone who supported this president is, at best, looking the other way on racism.
Wow. That's Pete Buttigieg, who just said that today, apparently. He accused 63 million people who voted for Donald Trump in 2016 of being racist. Pete Buttigieg. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Now, why would he do that? Well, because he is... Well, I responded to him, by the way, and I know that he likes to conveniently and when it's to cherry pick scripture to try to make himself sound more moral than others. But I shared with him some verses about having a deceitful tongue and false accusations and that he should probably incorporate as part of his devotional this week. But I also shared with him because I think that what he's doing is an incredibly shameful attempt. It's just an embarrassing attempt at trying to shore up very anemic support from a particular demographic. And I wanted to share this New York Times article with you on this because he's in. I mean, this just came out. This is just a few days ago. Pete Buttigieg is in bad shape with black Democrats. And here's why. There's a number of these. There's a Quinnipiac University poll that was released, poll after poll after poll that. Showcases how unbelievably difficult it is for him and how he does not have support from black voters. Furthermore, he does not have a great track record with the black community as it relates to his time as mayor of South Bend. The way that he fumbled when he was dealing with an officer-involved shooting, his response and the way that in which he just wasn't up to task at dealing with the community the way that an actual leader would. And that has hurt him more than anything. And so now he's trying to race hustle. One of the whitest people in this race, he's trying to race hustle as a way to kind of offset his, what's really tanking him in the primary. This is shameful. Shame on him. You know, when all of this first began, and when he first got into this race, I kept thinking, you know, he might be one of the candidates that at least is going to say when things are true and will say if something's false, and he's not going to get into the character assassinations that so many Democrats do and have done since I was little and watching all of this stuff. And then my mistake was I gave him the benefit of the doubt, and then he decides to his true colors come out. And it's alabaster. No, his true colors come out, and he is just as snaky and flaky as the rest of them. And this to see someone who tries to situationally cite scripture as a way to basically go and argue with Christians, evangelicals, and then to see him do this. I mean, this is shameful. This is ridiculous. He's struggling with black voters because he hasn't done anything. He doesn't know how to do outreach to the black community. He struggles with black voters because he'd rather do Tony cocktail dinners with other white people, apparently. I don't know. I mean, this guy is, I just don't really think highly of him. He seems like a scenester who is trying to go for an office that his skill set has not equipped him to handle. And that's all it is. He's like a kind of like a weaker version of Elizabeth Warren. I don't know. But this is really where it comes down to. Yeah. Even The Onion was making fun of him. They had a headline the other day. It said, Pete Buttigieg admits only recently realizing black people can vote. I mean, they're even making fun of him. So this is his problem. His problem is he's just not an attractive candidate to everybody. And so now he wants to blame it on, well, you know, you better vote for me because these people are racist. Wow. Southern strategy much, Pete? Just I don't like this guy, and I think that he is disingenuous, and can I be real? I don't want to say stuff like this about people's faith, but I think he's disingenuous in it. Because normally if someone's really trying to walk the path, you will see some sort of fruit of that labor. And this isn't it. Saying stuff like this isn't it. You know? Like, for instance, I don't like a lot of the candidates in the race, the Democrat primary candidates. You know, I don't like Joe Biden, but I don't think he's a racist. Just because I dislike his policies does not mean that I think that he believes some people are more redeemable than others based on their skin color. But that's what Pete Buttigieg is saying. He is literally characterizing disagreement on politics as a serious issue of the soul. And I find that to be one of the most egregious things that I think I've heard in all of this. To me, it is even worse than saying, oh, because you support the Second Amendment, I guess you like murder. What you're saying is because you believe in limited government, because you believe in everyone having equal access to opportunity, being able to go and pursue that of their own volition, because you believe in lower taxes, you believe that we shouldn't attend every single fight internationally to which we're invited, you believe in being a good steward of our nation's resources and limiting to ourselves, limiting government's power to as far as to the end of the page in Article 1, Section 8. And because you believe those things, you believe that some people are more redeemable than others because of their skin color. Do you hear how stupid that sounds when you say it in that realistic manner? It's not a leap of logic. It's not on the same planet. It is really offensive. It's not, and I'm tired of joking about it. It's really offensive. And if you are a really serious person of faith, you're not going to say stuff like that just because you disagree with someone's politics. If you're a real serious person of faith, you're not going to say, well, you know, I don't like that you support this, so you're probably a racist. You're probably a bigot. Since when does support for certain economic policy or international policy, etc., showcase that? How is that the same thing? So Pete Buttigieg doesn't care enough to do the work within the black community, and he wants to try to foment some sort of outrage because he thinks that's going to do it for him? That is inherently racist. To think that you're going to be able to appeal to someone with a fake offense by lying about someone else's character? Wow. You're literally using race to try to get people to like you. That is racist. So, I mean, he's welcome to come on air and discuss how it's not. And he's welcome to point out in the scripture that he likes to cite when he's trying to go off on evangelicals, where what he said and the motivations behind it is supported. But come prepared. It's ridiculous. I may not be able to move past that. I rarely get genuinely offended over stuff. Like, I get mad or I'll get, you know, sassy about stuff. But I actually have a pretty long fuse. And Kane, I think, will attest to this too. You know, people think otherwise, but it really does take, it's takes something special to genuinely, I just don't get offended, to genuinely make me actually discount your character beyond how I disagree with you in politics takes a lot. A lot. And this guy did it. I have, and this is going to sound crazy to you, I have more respect for people like Kamala Harris than I do Pete Buttigieg. I have more respect for people, and I think Tulsi Gabbard's super far left, and she's anti-gun, but I have more respect for people like that than I do Pete Buttigieg. I think he is the male Elizabeth Warren. He is one of the most disingenuous candidates in this race, and this just sealed the deal for me. I just, you know, I look at some of the people. Do you realize a lot of these people that voted for Trump were Democrats? A lot of these people that voted for Donald Trump were Democrats. They were so happy to pull that lever for the Clintons in the 90s. They were happy to pull that lever for Al Gore in the early aughts. They were happy to pull that lever for Barack Obama. But when you have someone who steps up and is talking about the actual things that affect their day-to-day lives beyond pronouns and all this other social justice warrior stuff, and they talk about trade, and they talk about manufacturing, and they look domestically, that really spoke to a lot of people. A lot of people that Democrats forgot. People in the Rust Belt. People across the Midwest, people in auto manufacturing, people in all kinds of industries that felt forgotten by a party that constantly talked about either wrecking coal or giving taxpayer dollars in the forms of a form of subsidies to things like solar power, et cetera, like what we saw Democrats in Missouri do and elsewhere, Barack Obama with his big green bailout. And they look at this and they thought, you know what, we are being forgotten. And because Democrats didn't do their due diligence, they went and voted for someone else. And now suddenly they're racists. A lot of these people were good enough to vote for Barack Obama, but because they didn't vote for the elderly white woman, they're racist. Now I can see. I think Pete Buttigieg is running for president because he couldn't win re-election as mayor in South Bend. That's what it seems like to me. Good heavens.
I actually have some audio of him actually saying he doesn't want the black vote.
Yeah, go ahead.
I couldn't believe this when I heard it, but here we go. He's at a Black Lives Matter rally here. Listen.
But if you truly running for president and you... black people to vote for you? You don't want to vote. You running for president and you want black people to vote for you? That's a downfall. That's not going to happen.
I'm not asking for your vote. You
ain't gonna get. He's not asking for their vote.
No, you're just going to try to shame people and giving it to you with false accusations and false witness. No, he's struggling. Absolutely struggling. Oh, I'm so not even done on this. You're probably going to want to go to DanaRadio.com later because, I mean, I'm like trying not to go to, you know, because he likes to cite scripture. Oh, we can sit here and talk about it. I mean, literally just the other day, part of my devotional was looking at Bear and False Witness. So, you know, and how gossip that is, you know, you better tame that unruly, deceitful tongue. Anyway, we're going to get moving on because I know we got some other stuff to do. And I got to get to Florida Man. And I know y'all like Florida Man, but I rest assured ain't done. As we move on, it's the Christmas season. It's the holiday season. And I like to say Christmas season, but we have Hanukkah and we have all kinds of fun stuff. But we also, I think, order more online than any other time. I think it's safe to say, right? We order more online right now than we do any other time of the year. I cannot stand to go into stores and all of that when it's like the craziest just because I get claustrophobic and everything's hot. You know what I mean? I'm like, ah! So I love ordering online because I don't like shopping. I just want to go and get what I want to get and then come home. So I have tons of packages coming to my house. God bless Blink. That's the Blink cameras, by the way. Yes, I use them to totally scare people that come to my house. But you know what? It's also super helpful when you have packages come and you want to keep an eye on stuff. This is the cool thing about it. So the Blink XT2 cameras, you can put them absolutely anywhere. They're wireless. They set up in minutes. They have a talkback feature. So how it works is your smartphone app, Blink, will send you a video clip, a total alert, the moment someone's coming up to your stuff, onto your property, up to your porch, and you can view it and decide whether or not you want to engage. Sometimes maybe it's just the mailman. Sometimes maybe it's FedEx. Sometimes maybe it's a porch pirate who's coming to steal your Christmas stuff. And with the XT2 system, you can talk back. And by talk back, I mean, I've got your license plate number. I'm watching you run away with my package. It's really fun to do. I've never actually done that, but I have scared guests. It's fun. So you have to check it out right now. They make home security easy. They make the holiday package delivery season easy. Visit blinkprotect.com/Dana. That's blinkprotect.com/Dana. Blink is an Amazon company that works with Alexa.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Apollos investor país y esta incluye la oportunidad de comprar este plan de Medicare para todos que lo quieran, que es nuestra solución. Esta oportunidad de comprar este plan para todos, no importa de estatus migratorio.
So that is Pete Buttigieg saying in Spanish that his government health care plan would absolutely include those who enter the country illegally. Just give free things out, and that maybe will make people forget that you don't have the skill set necessary to do the job as commander-in-chief. I'm mad about this. I'm tweeting about this. I'm writing about it at DanaRadio.com because I'm done joking about it. I've really have had it at this point. I mean, really.
I don't see him making it, to be honest with you. And it looks like this is just desperation stuff on his part. That's what
I've been
like
really cool to this cat. I have. I've been really cool to this guy.
You've spent enough time saying his last name, got it right today.
Go and look at people. I double dog dare you. Triple dog dare you. Go and look in my archives. I think that there's being corrective, and then there is being caustic. And I'm caustic less so, but I mean, usually if the individual's so their offense is so egregious and heinous that, I mean, what other kind of emotion are you supposed to react with? But this guy, this just did it. Just this. I've always been very cool and very nice, and you know, he's vanilla wafer, blah blah blah. He's like, you know, not the great value Beto, you know, all this stuff. And then for someone to rhetorically devolve to this level is inexcusable to me. I'm mad. You realize that we're going to really struggle to get away from this for the rest of the show, right?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to have that last segment up. We can clip that and we can put it up at Facebook for you as well. I know. We got to get to Florida Person. We really do. We really do. Let's do it.
It's time for Florida Person. It's time to check what Florida is up to.
The sweet dulcet tones of Steve Jones there. Okay, this is... No, there's some of these I can't. Some of these I really can't. Okay, this one actually made me mad. This came from Channel 9 News Spectrum. Haines City, Florida. A father left his son on the side of the road on Sunday. I don't know the age of the boy because he suspected that his son might be gay. He's due in court on Tuesday, actually today. He found his son watching some stuff, and he told his son that he's got to find a new home. And apparently and the dad is 30 years old, so I don't really think that the kid's older, or like a teenager even, but he made his son get out of the vehicle and didn't have a phone to contact anyone, and he just left. And so he's been charged with 3 counts of negligent child abuse without bodily harm. Okay, there's better ways to handle things as a parent than the way in which you're doing this. TC Palm says there was a stranger stealing pizza ingredients from a home in Fort Pierce. She came in and made herself a pizza. She didn't actually take anything, but she did have a pink purse. I don't know why that was important to mention, but it's in there. All right, third hour on the way. Don't go anywhere. We ran short, but we won't tomorrow. Third hour next.
Well, the president is doing his job. You can approve or disapprove, but he's the president of the United States, and my goodness, this was a phenomenal interaction between President Macron and President Trump, talking about world issues. And in the meantime, I believe, and I'm just going to use a very harsh word, it's scandalous that this process of impeachment is proceeding in a public way this week. It is, I think, outrageous, a great disservice to our country. Shame on them for not. We have continuances and trials all the bloody time. So why would you do this? It is such a, and Carl put it very well, a stick in the eye of the president. But I think it's a stick in the eye of the United States of America.
Yeah, well, and Ken Starr was talking about this, what was I think of this morning? And he's not wrong. Welcome back. Third hour of the program. I'm Dana Lash at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. You can watch all 3 hours of the program live stream just by visiting official Dana Lash on Facebook. And you can also find me on YouTube. We'll be expanding here just within days to other platforms also. And make sure to check out DanaRadio.com or DanaLash.com. They'll both get you to the same spot where you can get a lot of new content. Ken Starr's right that you always have. There's continuances in this stuff all the time. He's the president of the United States. Right now is at what, some sort of a dinner with the Queen of England, the Queen of the UK, Queen of England. They're at this big fancy dinner, I believe, at Buckingham Palace, I guess, is where it's at. And meeting with Boris Johnson. He met with Justin Trudeau. They had a joint presser earlier today, met with Emmanuel Macron as well. And he's there on the world stage. And previously, and this was something that Starr alluded to, whenever the president was traveling abroad, especially as it relates to advancing foreign policy and representing the United States of America, all of these petty political disputes, everything else, all the politics, all of this ended right at the water. Because you wanted to make sure that your country was represented well and looked unified on the world stage. But there are other individuals who think that the petty partisan fighting and everything else is more important than presenting a unified appearance on the world stage so as to not incur the interest of conflict from other foreign entities. But these individuals don't apparently understand this strategy, or they don't care about the strategy. I think that's the other thing. I think that they just don't care. Whatever benefits their party, whatever benefits their agenda, that's the thing that's what's most important. That's it. That's what leads. And it's really sad because this, instead of getting behind all of this, it could be quite something else entirely. But there you go. So the president is overseas. He had a very interesting meeting with Emmanuel Macron. We talked about that earlier. They was a little bit contentious considering some of the things that Macron has said, wherein he believes that NATO might be brain dead for a little bit. Not exactly true. In fact, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said that the president's actions with NATO, well, he's been making it stronger. Audio Soundbite 22. Listen.
We are making real progress, most importantly on burden sharing. Your leadership on defense spending is having a real impact. Since 2016, Canada and European allies have added $130 billion more to their defense budgets. And this number will increase to $400 billion US dollars by 2024. This is unprecedented. This is making NATO stronger, and it shows that this alliance is adapting, responding when the world is changing.
Yeah. Well, that's the Secretary General of NATO saying that the president has actually made NATO stronger, which is true because it's expanded. He's expanded NATO. There are other countries coming aboard. Now, earlier, I've seen a lot of really dumb media stuff on this. The president, because he was sitting there He was sitting there with Emmanuel Macron. Now, remember, Macron has been one of those world leaders that has wanted the United States to honor its non-agreement with Iran. It's not a treaty. It wasn't ratified by anybody. It's some a suggestion. Fist bump. The U.S. fist bump with the U.S. fist bump with Iran, and Macron would love for that to continue, and they've been pressuring the United States on that. And so Trump was asked. They're sitting there. He's sitting there with Macron, and then everybody asks questions at once. And some reporters can't stop talking over other reporters because there were. And I watched this live, by the way. And there were times that someone would ask a question, and I didn't hear the beginning of it because someone else was trying to ask their question over that reporter. And then there were times when Trump would have to shut them up and then say, "You ask a question." So anyway, because a lot of people did not want to add his clarification onto this. And this is where it comes into grace in politics. First off, I'm just going to play this for you straight, no chaser. And then we're going to talk about the clarification and what he said after. Audio soundbite 21.
Mentioned earlier the Iran protests. Does the United States support these protesters in Iran? I don't want to comment on that, but the answer is no, but I don't want to comment on that.
Now, everyone went, what? Because Mike Pompeo has gone out there and said, oh, but we all support the protesters in Iran. And this, of course, was after affirming law that went through, the resolution that went through that was signed, where it expressed support for the protesters in Hong Kong. And so people were kind of scratching their heads over this. Well, Trump, like minutes later, it wasn't that long, I think it was like 20 minutes later, realized what everyone was saying. And he said, no, I thought, and I had wondered this because the thing that they had been talking about was whether or not there would be the financial support. Any financial support with regards to protesters in Iran, etc. And Trump thought they were asking him about, are you going to, you know, send money, etc. And he had tweeted about this. He tweeted that we support the protesters in Iran. And he also said, I thought that the question had to do with sending money to, and that's what I was addressing. And it makes sense, especially when, you know, as I did, I was literally sitting at my desk preparing for the radio show, and I had this on, and I was watching their press conference, and so it makes sense because that's what they were discussing. But you know, media does not extend grace to anyone except anything that promotes its narrative, right? So moving on here, because I wanted to touch upon that, and a little bit later on, we're going to talk to a veteran-owned coffee company that we work with, actually. About the whole Starbucks thing, because there's with the cop on Thanksgiving. I wanted to get really quickly into, let's pull this up. I have a lot of prep on this too, by the way. I wanted to get into the IG report that's coming out in 6 days, which is insane that it's coming out in 6 days. The IG report's coming out in 6 days, and Bill Barr, which I like saying better than William Barr, he's rejecting one of the findings in the probe. So far, some of the stuff that's been leaked out is that there really isn't. What was the basis of demanding that FISA get involved? What was there's a lot of questions about the FBI in this. And one of the things that Barr is going at is rejection. The Hill had the story first. A key finding in this IG probe. Wherein Barr said he disagrees with the finding that the FBI had enough intelligence to initiate an investigation into the campaign in July 2016, particularly as it was all predicated upon the stupid Christopher Steele dossier that came from the Kremlin and that was paid for by Hillary Clinton's campaign and the DNC. And they took this oppo and they began leaking bits of it to different reporters whose names were redacted in all of the paperwork that was released related to this because of a FOIA request. And then those stories based upon that information that was surreptitiously leaked, that was taken to the FISA court to say, hey, here's this. We should probably investigate. And so he says, yeah, I really disagree with, I mean, this is ridiculous. So it's not what people aren't, I guess what we're waiting to see is just how vocal and vociferous he's going to be in his disagreement with this as the full report comes out, because it's on December 9th. Lindsey Graham said it was coming out December 9th, so that's just 6 days away. And don't forget, the Department of Justice is still running its own criminal investigation led by U.S. Attorney John Durham into the FBI probe, and that's something that Barr has been keeping a close eye on. Horowitz does criticize, according to this report, some of the FBI employees in the surveillance tactics, and we're going to see just how far that disagreement goes. But so far, I don't see anything that is actually favorable to the narrative that Democrats have. Just like I didn't see anything with the Mueller report, just like I didn't see anything with anything else, right? I mean, it's just not, it's simply not there. All right, so a couple of other things here. I had this conversation a little bit earlier. We were discussing the idea of, well, and it had to do with a Mark Ruffalo thing, because the socialists on social media don't understand math. And my favorite thing in the world is when someone cannot clearly articulate why they support something, a particular economic policy. So they go to meme land and they try to just like throw something that there is a way to do it. But there was this idea that the argument happened. I was talking with a friend of mine, Carol Roth, at Venezuela. When you look at, and this is something that she's written about, in the mid 20th century, she had noted the GDP was fourth in the world, but because of the politicians and the fairness and all of the rhetoric that you're hearing now from the Party of Democrats, you got into more centralized control of everything, entitlements, means of production, central planning, expanding social programs, all sorts of stuff. And initially, while everyone who, the working class thought that this was, this was all great, It didn't actually create any equality because it never does. That's just not how it works. And she had noted as well that they always promise to level the playing field, which never actually happens because you cannot do that. Having as a tinier, more insignificant number of people try to control all of the resources, the only equality in the outcome of socialism is the absolute destruction that it wreaks upon a country, their freedoms and their economic prosperity. Because Venezuela, I mean, good heavens, they ruined their own economy. They were fourth in the world in terms of GDP in the 20th century, and now nothing. And someone had said, okay, yeah, do Norway now. Are you serious? Okay, boomer. Do Norway. Okay, democratic socialism, that's not what they are. And there's been so many things written about this. And this is stupid Bernie Sanders rhetoric. He keeps saying democratic socialism, etc. Social democracy and democratic socialism are two different things. Do you mean words have meaning? They do. Actually, it's amazing. Words do have meanings. See, that's the thing. Now, granted, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing as socialism. There was a couple of really good pieces on this, one on Forbes, and I'm going to link this at danaradio.com later on. But they get into how social democracy, where the government promotes public welfare, and democratic socialism, all kind people don't understand what these words mean. I'm going to link all of this up. The Economist ran a really good piece on this. Forbes had a very, really awesome piece on this. And all of it is the myth of Scandinavian socialism. And this was something that's not a social, it's not a socialist country. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow, but I'll also link it up at danaradio.com as well. We have a lot more to touch on coming up. How would you respond if you were a police officer going to get a cup of coffee? You're helping out 911 dispatchers, and someone hands your coffee back to you with pig written all over it. Goodness, we're going to talk about that coming up with the folks at Black Rifle Coffee Company, so you don't want to miss that. As we get moving on, love my super beats. Like I said, I had a rough night with our dog Rocco because he underwent emergency spinal surgery, and we are rehabilitating him, and it is a really, really time-involved ordeal. And I don't know how many chews I had today. Can you tell the difference when I have them?
Yeah.
I had five.
Did you really?
Yeah. I'm supposed to have two.
It's more than the recommended.
You don't need five. It is, because two is the okay, just everyone was, I heard from some people who were on the struggle bus about the beet drink, and I thought it was so adorable. Everyone's like, Dana, I just don't know. I hate beets. And I'm like, okay, I have a million seats, because I hate beets more than you and everyone you know that hates them all put together for eternity. All of those people. And they're like, wow, that's a lot. I'm like, mm-hmm. But I would do the 4-ounce drink. Then they came out with these soft chews. I don't, if you guys have not tried these Super Beats soft chews, I don't know why you're punishing yourself. Why do you hate yourself like this? Treat yourself. Let me help you. Super Beats soft chews gives you all the potent heart health benefits of Super Beats, but it's packed into two convenient. It tastes like candy, for crying out loud. You can take it with you wherever you go. They even have them wrapped up like candy. I feel like I'm eating a Starburst. They're made with premium grape seed sourced only from this very fancy place where Chardonnay comes from, the Loire Valley in France. So look at it like you're as you're having your afternoon pick-me-up Chardonnay chew, right? That's how I do it. And the new breakthrough ingredient, grape seed extract, helps to support normal blood pressure, circulation, natural energy in the body. You really do feel a difference. I had five, like I said, twos should get you through the day normally. You're all right. But when you go today to danasbeats.com, buy two bags, they'll throw in the third for free. You can only get that offer right here. No one else loves you enough to give that offer to you. I do. So go to danasbeats.com right now. Buy two bags, they'll throw in the third for free. danasbeats.com.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I forgot this is my top headline that I had in here. So you guys remember that whole female copulatory organ museum that I told you in September was opening? Okay, well, it opened. And there are photos to, quote, document the historic occasion, end quote. Yeah, and it's just pretty much as you would think. Yeah. Uh-huh. I just kind of wonder, have you ever even seen a vagina? Just. All right, moving on. Ronan Farrow says Hillary Clinton gave him the cold shoulder when he exposed Harvey Weinstein. Well, it could have been a lot worse. I mean, you could have just been cold all period. He could have been fostered. Ronan Farrow says Hillary gave him the cold shoulder when he exposed Weinstein. He said her aide seemed to almost make a 180-degree turn on a scheduled interview after the story broke. They didn't want anything to do with him. All right, so coming up. Black Rifle Coffee Company has a response to the whole Starbucks writing pigs on cops' cups for Thanksgiving. We'll talk about that next.
Entertaining, educational, and relentless. Get your on-demand dose of Dana. Listen live at danaradio.com.
All right, so I was telling you guys about that story. By the way, I love Faith No More. We could just play that song. I'm all about that. Mm-hmm. And just like chill playing that song. So I was telling you a little bit earlier about, and we're going to talk about this here coming up, the Starbucks thing with, it was in Oklahoma of all places. And it was one employee that handed, there were these officers that, you know, 911, very, 911 dispatchers deal with a lot of stuff. And over the holiday weekend as well, it's kind of a busy time of the year, stressful time of the year. And so these officers wanted to do something nice for one of their, for their dispatchers. And when they went to Starbucks to, and I don't know what they ordered, but when they went to Starbucks to get the coffee, the barista apparently wrote pig on the cuffs and handed it to the officers. And that's not cool. It was on Thanksgiving. And Starbucks said it apologized to the officer and that the employee who printed the labels with the offensive word was fired because they violated company policy, which I can get because apparently it's not like it's the biggest town in the world where they work in. And the likelihood that you're going to continue working or seeing these individuals, the likelihood that you're going to see them again is relatively high. And so maybe that's just not the best, you know, the best thing. One of the affiliates there, one of the ABC affiliates there said that, it said pig on it. You know, when they type it in between the little asterisks and they put it up there, they print it out on the cup. That's how they did it. And when the officer picked up the cups, they had pig written on them. And O'Meara, who is who's the police chief there, the Kiefer police chief, he called and spoke with the manager, and he said that they offered to reprint the cups if the officer brought them back. So that's what they asked them to do first. You know, like, that's just gonna, oh yeah, that's gonna make it better. Because honestly, I would wonder, like, what else did you do to these cups? If you wrote pig on it, did you spit in them? I can't trust you to not be a jackwagon. So I mean, what did you do? Did you spit in them? What did you do to it? And so The chief said that that's not cool. So Starbucks responded with this statement. They said, quote, "This is absolutely unacceptable, and we're deeply sorry to the law enforcement officer who experienced this. We've also apologized directly to him. We are working to connect with the police chief as well to express our remorse. The barista has been suspended. And pending the outcome of our investigation into this matter, the language is offensive to all law enforcement." And they said that it's not representative of the deep appreciation that we have for our police, for our law enforcement officers, and who work so hard to keep our community safe. I mean, would you go back there? Would you think it was just like a one-time thing?
Not at all. I mean, it's comforting to know that person got fired. If you're the cop and you want to go back to that Starbucks, maybe that may be a little comforting there, but the damage is already done. And it just proves to you the narrative, for how long the narrative has been anti-cop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, the officer who got the cup said that the employee reached out to him personally and apologized, saying it was meant as a joke. Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know that I would say that that's meant as a joke or not. I really don't. Yeah, I really don't. I don't know if that's meant as a joke. Okay, I want to move on and get to some other things that we're watching as well, because we've been seeing the president with NATO and all of this other stuff taking place, and the discussion as it relates to foreign policy and as it relates to Trudeau and Emmanuel Macron. And I don't know exactly what it's going to look like how the press is going to present this after all of these discussions are said and done. However, they're not going to give him any kind of credit, and they're not going to give him any kind of win on it. I do understand the tariff thing with France. The whole thing is just kind of frustrating. I want to go really quickly, because we got a few minutes before we talk to some other, we get into some of these other topics. We're joined by Evan Hafner, who's the founded Black Rifle Coffee Company. And they've been talking to a lot of media about the stuff with regards to the situation in Oklahoma and the police officer there. Hey, Evan, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Not bad. Thanks for calling in. So tell me about your response to that story with the Oklahoma and the officer there. Would you go back? If you were that cop, would you go back to that store?
No. I think that's a long shot for me to go back to that store. I think, you know, our big thing here at Black Rifle is every day when we wake up, we try to support the people that serve us. And what I say is we serve coffee to the people that serve us. And, you know, as you know, and I think most of your listeners know, there's been so much negative and what I like to call propaganda about the men and women that serve our communities over the last few years. I think it's an obligation for companies like ours to step in and fight the narrative with, you know, positive information about what companies can do for our law enforcement, you know, friends and family, because these are the same people that we served with in the military, same people that continue to get up and serve us every day. It's the least we can do to serve them, you know, a coffee with a smile, right?
Yeah, sometimes I wonder if it's more than just the individual, or if it's a culture of the company, or if it's just, you know, culture of the community. That's the other thing. I understand that they fired the employee, but this stuff keeps kind of, this is right. Like, how many headlines have we had about this with this particular company?
You know, I you're exactly right. I don't know. I think that obviously every corporation has their own unique culture. You know, I think what we've seen is a lot of these bigger corporations, they want to embrace what I call the more progressive coastal corporate value system, which is this really strange progressive PC culture where, you know, a few years ago they shut down, you know, several thousand stores for cultural sensitivity training. Well, are they going to shut down several thousand stores now for, you know, law enforcement sensitivity training? I don't know. I think that would be a fantastic and appropriate response for something like this, because it's extremely insulting to the men and women that put their lives on the line for people like you and I every day.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And it's just unfortunate because they were doing a good deed. It wasn't even for them. It was for the 9/11 dispatchers that were there dealing with all of the emergencies over the Thanksgiving weekend, of which, you know, it's a stressful time for them. They're all doing this. They're all doing this to serve the community. They could have been home eating turkey with their families, and they chose not to do that. Speaking of that, here real quick, you have the Thin Blue Line Coffee Roast, which is about supporting law enforcement. Tell me about this.
We've had it since quite literally the first year that beginning. I started Black Rifle. And the very beginning. And what my whole position with this is as a veteran, as a guy that served the country for 20 years, I spent about a decade of my life overseas, directly, you know, serving the country, both as a special forces soldier and at the CIA for about 9 years. And a lot of my friends, my close and personal friends, they were getting out of the military and they were getting into law enforcement. So they're leaving, you know, one tribe of service and then connecting mm-hmm. with, you know, a similar tribe of service back to their communities. So I know so many guys and people in law enforcement, and I'm very connected to the issues that they're dealing with. So when I started the company, it was not only a big portion of the give back was for veterans, and it was really, you know, a lot of my cause-related initiatives were for veterans, but I started talking to a lot of my friends, police departments, and it was a fairly easy decision to say, you guys actually need some more support. And I don't think the public, and maybe there are a lot of people that understand it, but you know, law enforcement, they're under so much pressure to perform every day, and they're under a microscope. You know, they're wearing cameras, and they're under a microscope, and they're dealing with, you know, all the problems that you and I don't necessarily want to deal with every day, with people that are legitimately bad. They're bad people.
Yeah.
And they keep them away from our doorsteps and our cars, and they keep our communities safe. And most of these is what the international community would actually call sanctuaries. You know, our cities are safe because mm-hmm. of people in law enforcement.
Yeah.
And my first donation was actually back to a fund that helped defend law enforcement officers when they were being prosecuted by somebody that, you know, was claiming that they were, you know, mistreated or and I don't think a lot of people quite understood this. I didn't, because several years ago, having these conversations, you know, they're making the best decisions they can. They have a union, of course, but they're often really put under a level of scrutiny, and especially if they're in cities that are politically unfavorable towards law enforcement, and you know the cities that I'm referring to.
Oh, yeah.
They're typically on the coast, right?
Well, a lot of people are their keyboard experts on this stuff. They think that they know better than law enforcement when they look at some of the videos or when they hear some of these stories. And, you know, with this, one of the things that really aggravates me about all of this is that I feel like police are the ones that are slammed also for the laws that are being enforced, that the people voted for certain politicians to write the laws, the police enforce them, and then the police are the ones that get all the criticism and all the hate and all the protesting and all the character assassinations, because they're enforcing the very things that these people voted for by way of voting for these candidates.
Correct. Yeah, they're taking it on the chin for the political representatives. It's not them. They didn't write the law. They didn't write the regulation. They're out there enforcing it to the best of their ability. And you know, I think a great example of that is the former was it the director of ICE, who was just absolutely grilled within the last year with congressional elected officials over enforcing policies on the border. And he's making that point over and over and over again, saying, I'm not the one that wrote this. I'm enforcing it for the things that you actually wrote and implemented that were in a previous administration. I'm the guy that puts my, you know, my butt on the line every day doing this stuff for the American public. And I'm doing it what I feel is a high level of success. And I'm doing it under your regulatory issues. So don't blame me. Like, blame yourself.
Exactly.
Like, just turn the mirror and look at yourself. Yeah.
Exactly. We are unfortunately out of time, but Evan Hafer with Black Rifle Great. Coffee Company, you can go to blackriflecoffee.com. Appreciate what you do, and you make some damn fine coffee. So thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Take care. We have a lot more coming up. We have Today in Stupidity on the way also. As we get moving on, CarShield's a great program that you need to check out because car repairs can be super expensive. Everything from, you know, the GPS, the computers, the tech, all of that stuff. That's why I have CarShield, because I want to make sure that I'm not, you know, out of arm and leg when I least expect it. CarShield has helped over 1 million people. You get to choose your plan, your favorite mechanic, the dealership to do the work. CarShield takes care of the rest. They offer 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car while yours is being fixed for free. So get covered by CarShield today. Call 800-CAR-6000 and mention code Dana or visit CarShield.com. Use code Dana to save 10%. That's CarShield.com. Code Dana. A deductible may apply.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
50-year-old Hunter Biden, his lawyer quit. The judge is demanding out 3 years of tax returns. This is not going well for him. So he apparently blew off a child support hearing in Arkansas yesterday, so his lawyer quit. And now the judge is like, give me all your tax returns. While he was still at Burisma, by the way. So that would cover that period. The lawyer abruptly withdrew because his client blew off the hearing. It was in Batesville, Arkansas. And his attorney, former Arkansas Attorney General Dustin McDaniel, just quit. So there you go. And the London Roberts, the woman who says that she has the DNA test that shows without any question that this is, and she filed paternity suit, all of this. She was sitting right there front row. And she worked at a stripper in a gentleman's club in Washington, D.C. And he is known to frequent those. So, I mean, at least by several reports, numerous reports, actually. So he's now filed a request to seal all his financial records. He doesn't want anything more embarrassing than him getting kicked out of the Navy for snorting coke or dating his brother's widow while he was also with this woman in Arkansas and then marrying an Instagram influencer after only knowing her for 3 months to come out. There you go. Yeah. So meanwhile, his dad's talking about how he has legs on his hair that turned yellow and how minority children like to pet them in the pools. You got to go see that video animated if you haven't yet. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Also, a few other things here. This is a headline that came out from a couple of places. Apparently, Daily Mail had the first exclusive on it. Bill Clinton was Jeffrey Epstein's closest celebrity mate, says the headline, and a frequent guest at his New Mexico ranch with Hillary, staying at the pedophile's cowboy-themed village. These are estate workers who were saying that Bill Clinton was there frequently. Well, he flew on his private plane. He did all this stuff. He said he never visited one of his residences apart from one time at Epstein's New York home. But apparently they stayed at this ranch in New Mexico every year after they left the White House, according to the estate manager of that property. And they said they would sometimes bring their daughter. And that was a whole bunch of times as a former contractor who ran the IT system at the property. They visited the estate often. They never stayed in the main house, but they stayed in a special cowboy-themed village Epstein created a mile south of his own main villa, and they used one of the two guest houses. It was okay. And so it really doesn't sound like it, because it sounds like they were a lot closer than maybe perhaps it was. And this is like a huge property. This is a massive property. How does a guy who no one knows what he does for a living afford a property like this? All this acreage, all these houses. He has an island in the Caribbean. How does a guy, how do you afford something like this? But nobody wants to talk about it. Instead, what? Someone tried to say that they were trying to go at the president earlier because he said that he was pictured apparently meeting Prince Andrew one time, and he was asked about that by a reporter, and he told the reporter, well, I don't know him. And the press was like, but here's a picture of you outside with him. That's when he arrived there. And apparently, because previously, whenever you would have heads of states and it was a big thing like this, you would have members of the royal family. Like tonight, apparently, all the members of the royal family, except the disgraced Prince Andrew, are going to be there. So, yeah. I mean, do you realize how many pictures he probably has taken with different people? I think that's pretty accurate. Usually, people are always like, oh, yeah, that you have a picture with someone and you're like, oh, I know them. Mm-hmm, yeah. See, here's a. It just doesn't sound like he does. But anyway, well, they're trying everything that they can to move those goalposts. All right. It is, don't forget, DanaRadio.com, DanaLash.com. You need to go there for all the kinds of content. Kane, today in stupidity.
Yes, Elizabeth Warren was out there yapping. And she was talking about her promise when she gets elected as president, she is going to wear her Planned Parenthood pink scarf.
Yay.
She
said, I spoke and I wore my pink Planned Parenthood scarf. Now that's two. So here's my plan for number three. I'm going to be wearing that scarf when I'm sworn in as president of the United States.
Really sounds like somebody got a donation from Planned Parenthood.
Sounds like it. That's probably a lot of your taxpayer dollars,
one
too, because they get
$40 million they spent?
$536 million last fiscal year.
Yeah, they spent $40 million on just politics.
Yeah, just politics. It's your taxpayer dollars that you're giving to them. Amazing. All right, folks, don't forget to check out the website. Find me on Twitter, Official Dana Lash on Facebook, and you can find content from the show. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.